You said you have background noise.
Oh no, I was, as long as it's not too distracting.
I don't hear anything. It's perfect audio.
Oh,
Just to let
perfect. Great.
Yeah. Recording is in progress. Here's the clapperboard. Radio show beta 02 12/21/22. Clap. Oh my gosh, this is so fun. How would you like to start this? My first time trying this, I got the idea. Oh my gosh. I was trying to think, how could I make a radio show or talk show or something in not Tinder, but what's it called?
TikTok.
TikTok, exactly. And maybe TikTok is possible. But then what's happening is on January 2nd, January 3rd, whatever the Tuesday is, I'm going to be talking with my old friend, Robert Hanovich, that I went to the Army with. I was in the Army with. He's my best friend in the Army. And we got to talking today after not talking for a long time. And everything we were saying was just bringing back so many memories. And I want to figure out, how can I have a conversation with him and record it, you know, on the phone, or especially with video, and I could show, you know, visual aids and stuff like that. And it just occurred to me, Zoom has a record process, right? Yep. And it's like, wow, I could try it. And I tried it, and it was just, I tried it with a friend on the phone, and she wasn't on the video, but it worked out perfect. Had a great conversation. It's a good test. It was 45 minutes that I got to put on YouTube as a private video. And now this, if I may make this a public video, because it's going to be awesome. Right?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Of course it is.
Okay. So my name is Brett. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Zoom. We always talk over each other. But go ahead, brother. Yep.
Okay. So my name's Brett. Just a little bit about me. I was in the Army for almost 4 years. Had a great time, had a bad time. And that was 1994 to 98. Took me 22 years to get a, not a KISS t-shirt, but a four-year degree. And finally in computers, it was my sixth major. And I went, that was in 2013. And this year I got to go to grad school at Purdue online. So I got the sweater that says Purdue, and it's like, yeah, cool. And I promptly got expelled from that school for being unprofessional after 2 weeks of being there. But I got the full experience of what I wanted to get from grad school in that the 6 weeks build up and the 2 weeks there. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I don't want to be a professional. I don't want to be bound by professional ethics. I've been retired since I was 35. I'm 49 now. Here I am. I love to talk about philosophy and theoretical physics. Now, I will turn the microphone over to you. You are Aaron. Tell me about yourself.
Well, I can tell you that I am just a regular person, but what I've noticed is that most people are possessed, and they're not possessed by themselves. They're possessed by other things, right? And it's quite amazing, right? Because what it means to be a normal human being, you don't really know what it means to be a normal human being. Most people in the Matrix that we, you know, not the movie Matrix, but the movie kind of illustrates a point that people within this grid of fear programming do not actually live by their authentic spirit. Okay. I'm just a normal person, but I don't feel normal because I'm surrounded by people who are possessed. I mean, they're trying to not be possessed. That's the goal. They think maybe if they have enough money that maybe they won't be possessed by it.
You know? Can I stop you for just a second? I'm freezing in here. I'm going to get a jacket on. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hold on. I'm in Grants Pass, Oregon, by the way.
Oh, beautiful. Is it snowing?
No. It almost never snows here. Just a light dusting sometimes. You're in Washington. That's right.
Seattle area. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be right back. Hold on. down.
Oh, nice. There you go. Looks comfortable.
I don't have to explain to people what school this is.
You're glowing.
Oh, my God. Might as well say Harvard or Yale. For me, at least. Okay, go ahead.
Authentic. Oh, I can't remember what I was talking about.
Authentic. Possessed.
Well, you, okay, so there's a voice in your head, right?
Yeah.
And do people, you know, I guess it's like, do people realize there's a voice in their head? And what does it sound like? Does it sound like their voice that they speak with? You know, I think that's like the important question, right? And also, if you don't really, even if you're not even sure what the voice is in your head or what it sounds like, well, who's doing the talking? Are you sure it's you?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
right, we'll discuss this, yes.
Yeah, well, like what is our physical body?
Yeah.
What is a car?
Yeah.
Right? A car, like you can drive someone else's car, you know? Other things can drive you. And that's what happens. You have the spirit of greed or the spirit of all of these things, all these negative spirits, anxiety or fear, whatnot, right? It's all connected. And so you have this beautiful thing that you all of a sudden you see, these are not the people that are behaving like psychopaths. It's this, they're being possessed, you know?
Have you ever been employed?
Have I been employed?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I'm employed now.
How many psycho people do you have at your work?
Oh, I actually love where I work, actually. Okay. I think that, like, on some level, we're all kind of like, it's a gradation. I use that for dramatic effect, but it's really... Yeah. It's almost like we're being coerced into routine of like, have you ever heard, it's just business, right? It's kind of like somehow we do something that is morally incorrect or ethically incorrect and we can justify it, right? It's like we have a way out.
Yeah, by like, saying, oh, I was just only business. Doing my job.
I was just following orders.
It's like this, just following orders. Yes.
Well, and the video games help us, right? Because they help us desensitize ourselves.
Okay.
So it's just like, you know, really easy to kill.
Yeah.
And follow orders, you know, because I'm going to get my college degree and they're going to pay for my college, right? But then if you look at... You know, and this is stuff, you know, I don't know. Have you ever heard of Billy Carson?
Let me write that down.
Yeah. Definitely look into Billy Carson because he's an enlightened brother. Definitely.
How do you spell Carson?
C-I-R-S-O-N.
Like Johnny Carson. Okay. Okay. Billy Carson. And what does he do? What is he a talk show host or something?
Yeah. Kind of. He's a talk show host. He's a researcher. He's businessman. He's pretty inspiring person, inspirational speaker, definitely. But anyways, you know, I'm just learning, like as we all are, right? But that's kind of where I'm sharing is from my point of view. You know, it's just we're all at our own points of view, so. So what are you just want to talk about philosophy? Like, what are you hoping to gain
from this conversation? This conversation is unfolding exactly as I would hoped it would have fallen unfolded. Every second of this conversation is perfect. Yeah. I mean, I'm taking Facebook to another level here. I'm in Facebook jail for another 18 days this time around. So I can't.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, you know.
Why were you in jail?
This time, it was for cause. I did something, whatever. I forget. I'm just constantly in and out of Facebook jail these days.
Oh, well, I mean, it's pretty easy nowadays with the amount of, you know, censorship that's going on. It's amazing how many people are anti-science nowadays.
Anti-science, yeah. Oh God. Oh my gosh. I got to go to actual jail this weekend for about 2 days. It was
Wow.
so amazing. I loved it. I loved everything about it the whole time. Every single second of being there. It was just
Yeah,
amazing.
you must have been in a nice jail.
I guess.
You
It's being right past,
must
yeah.
have known that there you weren't going to be there for very long.
No, it wasn't that. I didn't know how long I was going to be there, but I was normally I go to nut houses, and this was my 13th time at a nut house. And I was like, let me try something different. So I smacked a nurse in the back of the head and waited for her to commingle with the doctors and stuff, say, let's send them to jail. So instead of going to the nut house this time, they coordinated with me to send me to jail. And the last thing that the lady cop said before she handcuffed me was, do you know right from wrong? And I said, please punish me. Please give me the penalty of someone who doesn't know right from wrong. And that was the magic word. She handcuffed me and took me away. And so instead of, in the nut house, what's unfortunate is if I stand on a chair or table or whatever and walk around and talk to myself, I get tackled and they jam a needle in me, right? They jam drugs in me. And in jail, it wasn't like that. I could do whatever I want. It was wonderful. And I got to play with the other people. It was wonderful. And everyone had a good time. I was singing and chanting Buddhist chant and singing army cadences, army songs, and
Were
boom, huh?
you
Hello.
in the army?
I was, yeah.
Okay, so this is like, were you ever, did you see service
Did I see action?
or action?
No, I
Yeah.
didn't see. I was never deployed. No, I sat in Fort Hood, Texas the whole time.
That's not a horrible thing.
No, it wasn't horrible at all for me. Like I say,
A lot of vets are committing suicide, you know?
yeah. I could tell you about that. I was 21 when I joined, and I was 24, almost 25 when they invited me to leave for shoving a pole up my ass, among other things I did. All this time I was thinking, people would ask me, you were in the army? I say, yeah. What did you do? Well, my job was phones, but really didn't do that very much. I did my job less than 5% of the time. So in jail this weekend, I finally realized I could tell people, what do you do in the army? I got to sing songs most of the time. It was really great. Would you like to hear one? Would you like to hear one?
Okay.
Saw an old lady walking down the street.
Oh yeah.
Had a rock on her back and jump boots on her feet. Said, hey, old lady, where are you going to? Said, U.S. Army Ranger School. Said, hey, old lady, now ain't you been told? Better leave that stuff for the brave and the bold. Sonny, Sonny, who are you talking to? I'm a drill sergeant at the Ranger School.
Oh, you probably sang that a lot, huh?
A bunch of different ones. It's great.
A bunch of them.
Yeah.
Did
And
you guys, that's like when you're doing like what do they call that, PT or whatever, where you're like just like running forever, running laps. Okay.
yeah. You want to see one of my favorite souvenirs from the Army from any time? Yes, one of my favorite souvenirs.
What is that? Top secret?
Yeah, it's the certificate they gave me, awarding me top secret in the Army. Isn't that fun?
Top secret what?
Yeah, clearance. You have degrees of
What?
clearance. Yeah,
Why
just
do
as top secret as 007. Right.
you? Shut up,
I
shut
swear to
up.
God. I swear to
Well, okay, so what
God.
do you know then about extraterrestrials?
It's funny, someone just mentioned this over here on the certificate. Over here, it says, oh God, where is it? Citizenship. Under Native Born, there's a checkbox for
Yep.
alien. Isn't that fun?
Well, I mean,
this is fun. This is fun.
yeah.
But aliens, yeah. You know, I was in the Signal Corps. I was dealing with phones. So,
So you know something.
yeah, I must know something. I
You
must.
know, you must know something about the bases and stuff that exist
Yeah, I must know
underground or
something.
whatever.
I must, yeah, was that Groom Lake and Cheyenne Mountain and all that stuff. Yeah, no.
You probably can't talk about it.
I'll tell you this. There's something called top secret, and there's something called top secret SCI, sensitive compartment information. Maybe you've never heard of that. I didn't know about that till I was in the Army. And what I didn't realize what that actually was until very recently. What that means is you have top secret and you go up, 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 up into action, right? And then they come back and they debrief you. And if they debrief you, that means they briefed you. And that means you were in some shit that was actually top secret. And in that period of time, you have SCI, sensitive compartmented information. And that's, I didn't get that. I was never in the shit or anything, you know? So I can say that. I had top secret
Right.
and it's gotten me late a couple of times, so I'm happy.
Yep. You want to know some secrets?
Yeah, secrets.
I'll tell you some secrets.
Over the years of knowing me, you can ask me, and maybe it'll jog my memory or something. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, what's good of having a secret if you can't tell
Can't tell it, yeah. You've
it?
heard of Freemasons?
A little bit.
Why would anyone tell anyone they were a Freemason? Why would I say I was a Freemason?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of,
Probably devil
I
shit.
should. Well, I mean, anybody can think anything,
If I
Everybody's
say
a devil
Freemason,
worshiper.
if I say Freemason, do you do this or do you do this?
I'm neutral.
Neutral.
Yeah, I'm neutral because it's, to me, it's, there's good and bad in everything. You have, there is no black or white, it's, I think that there is, to me, there is a truth that you can find everywhere. And I think what's hard for people to do is to, well, it's kind of like a reflection. It's hard for us to really perceive the reflection because we see the material world with our senses and it confuses us because we're trying to figure it out. So we spend most of our life trying to figure out the three-dimensional world. And then children are born and they're not connected with the 3D world. And we all of a sudden have to realize that we're completely disconnected from our children. Hopefully we realize that. But there's an illusion with the 3D world, right? This idea that there's an outside world. Well, how do we know that, right?
Yeah, how do you know I exist? This is classic philosophy. Go right ahead, discuss.
What is existing?
Yes,
I can hear a
discuss.
voice in my head. I can hear your voice. It doesn't seem to be coming from my head. Well, so there's it's consciousness. What is this consciousness thing that we're experiencing? And then you start to realize that there is a pattern, right? There's it's like a sacred relationship of energy that like a mother and a father and a child. You can get more details, right? But us ultimately it's that sacred geometric relationship of a mother, father, and a child. And you can say, oh, the heavenly father and the heavenly mother, like the Holy Ghost and the Son of God, or we're children of God. You can get all detailed and
So God is a thing, okay. All right.
well, what are you a thing? Are you a thing?
If you ask me, I see myself, I hear myself, and I touch and I feel. I would say that I am a thing. I exist.
And when you say you hear yourself, what do you hear?
I hear someone that has credit card bills, and if I say the magic words philosophically, maybe I won't have to pay those credit card bills anymore.
Well, he could change your name, right?
Change my name.
But
Cut
like,
my
are
hair,
you
change my name.
hearing your voice speak outside of your head? with your ears, or are you hearing your voice speak inside of your head?
When I talk, I hear my voice as if it's outside, I think.
Well, when you talk.
When I talk. And then you're saying, if I'm thinking, do I hear something in my head?
Well, how do you hear yourself think?
That's great. Furthermore, I came up with this idea. What is actually happening when thinking is happening? Get that down.
What is happening when talking is happening?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but except for our vehicle. We're possessing our vehicle. And I think that
what
is
said,
going
what
back.
What you said is important. What? Possess vehicle what?
Our body is our vehicle.
Okay.
It's our vehicle. Meaning, like, when you want to say something, you speak it. You will it. Mm-hmm. You have a telekinetic ability to make your body respond to your will, to your conscious power of focus. There's obviously, you know, you can break it down as science, and you have like the consciousness and subconscious and the nervous systems and autonomic nervous system and whatnot. But ultimately, you have consciousness and you have telekinetic abilities to move your body, move your hand, and feed yourself, and all that stuff.
The subconscious process of making your hand move is concept of telekinesis.
Well, how else is it happening? It's electrical stimulus.
Yeah. So those electrical stimulus is telekinesis.
Exactly. Well, we see it as a physical connection, but the body is just a crystallized version of what is energy, and telekinesis is energy. So your body extends further than your material meat suit.
Okay.
Your energy, and you telekinesis is using your energy.
What I'm saying is, when I hear the word telekinesis, I think I move this pen with my mind, not my hand.
Well, I wouldn't say it's your mind, it's with your energy.
Okay.
You use your consciousness. You use your consciousness to focus your energy. And it is your mind per se, but it's not located in, it's not something that a lot of times when people go in their head, they're quantifying things in a materialistic way. And that's the opposite direction to being able to do telekinesis.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm teaching my daughter, she's 8 years old. I'm teaching her telekinesis, right? But it's just the chi spinner, chi energy, if you've ever heard of it. But it's just, it's very simple. You just have something without friction. Like I used a pencil, and then just take a piece of foil and kind of fold it over and put it up on the pencil. And then you can, if you sit there and you just imagine kind of, you don't have to use your hands, but you can to give it more focus, right? Because you can just imagine a beam of light shining between your fingers, and then you can see the foil, and you can manipulate the foil without actually interfering with the air or touching it. And then when it happens, when you get a connection, all of a sudden it starts moving in a way that's like bizarre, and it's connected to your consciousness, you know. And if you start digging into it, you start realizing that everybody can do it, and a lot of people already have weird things that they can do, like they can make the lights flicker or something, you know, and they'll just be like, whoa, what the hell, you know. They don't really tell anybody about it because they're like, what, am I going crazy, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a thing. And I think for me, it was realizing like, whoa, okay, it's kind of like in the Matrix where they're like, there is no spoon, Neo, you know, and the spoon bends over, and it's like, oh, you know, there's a force that we're part of.
Yeah.
And you can connect with it. So that force, like the Jedi's, right? That force, to me, that is God. And you can say the God of love, right? The force, love, energy, to me, those are synonymous.
Okay. I agree. Do you believe God exists? God exists.
I don't have to. I know. Do you believe you exist?
Yeah. I say. I can shut down religion in 10 seconds.
See it. I mean, if you don't believe you exist, then that's the same as not believing God exists.
Yeah. I came up with this perfect prayer. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Hey, God, can you hear me?
That's a funny prayer.
Yeah. Just imagine if he answered, "Yes, my child, I hear you. What can I do for you?" He hasn't yet. I've tried it dozens of times. He hasn't yet. I just came up with that within a month ago.
Well, I think what's funny is that there was a voice in my head that was laughing.
Go ahead.
It's ironic, don't you think?
No, tell me. I don't know what you're saying.
Well, you're asking for God to answer you.
Yes.
That's all you have to do. And if you just do that, you'll start to be listening.
I'll be listening. Okay.
Because the way that God speaks to you is not in an obvious, I mean, it can be. It can be if you're like in that astral plane, if you're in the fifth dimension.
If God is so powerful, you'd think he would be able to say hello.
You have to be in the right state of consciousness.
Do I? Okay.
Because if you're in the mode of trying to prove something wrong, like not that doesn't exist, it's already like, it's just, you're already at a different vibration. You know, you're at a different frequency. And we have to be at a certain frequency to be able to perceive certain dimensions. We can't perceive a three-dimensional world from a two-dimensional mind.
Okay.
And in your case, you're in a three-dimensional world and a three-dimensional mind. Cool. And you're trying to perceive a non-local spirit realm. Okay. But in your realm, you're bound by space and time. And so therefore, you're quantifying things in a materialistic way.
Quantifying, yes.
And space and time are illusionary.
Illusionary, okay.
All the stars in the sky are billions of years old, yeah. Right? All that light. So we're seeing...
The stars that are billions of years old are billions of years old, and the stars that are 10 years old are 10 years old.
Well, the light that's here... No, what I'm trying to illuminate... is that we don't see the whole picture.
Okay.
We're seeing the light hasn't even reached us yet.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's light that we're not even aware of. And
if you knew that light, how much better would our lives be?
In a non-local realm, that light is connected already.
Already. Okay. All right. That's where we're going with this. Okay. Go ahead.
In a non-local spirit realm, all the knowledge is connected. But in space and time, it's not connected.
Okay.
It's because we're bound. There's that limitation. So it's what we're experiencing in this realm is like a reflection of the spirit.
Reflection of the spirit. Okay. I mean, that sounds poetic. Is there anything? Am I understanding you? Go ahead and quiz me.
I'm not sure what do you want? You want me to quiz you?
I don't know.
What's the Oh, to quiz you to see if I'm if you understand me. Well, okay. I guess it depends on how your ability of poetic interpretation, right? How keen are is your intuition? Like, how intuitive do you perceive yourself to be?
What's answer A? What's answer B? What's answer C? What's answer D?
Do you feel like you're an intuitive human being? Like, how good are you with empathy?
I'm 0%. I'm very bad with empathy.
Yeah. So, why do you think that is?
I'm hoping because I'm a soldier and they taught me to kill, kill, kill without mercy.
That could be part of it, yeah.
I hope so.
So, I mean, it's not like I'm not judging that. It's just like I'm giving you my perspective from where I'm at in my journey. And
You can't go back.
I didn't have that training
Yeah.
in my life. You know, I had a different upbringing. It wasn't necessarily pleasant, but it wasn't kill, kill, kill. But I had a friend who taught me how to shoot,
Yes.
and I'm aware of what it means to take the life of another animal or another being. Obviously, I think that if you're in the line of fire and you're killing another human being, there's karma. There's a karmic debt that has to be paid. And I just have always realized that I was never going to put myself in a position like, what? I'm going to go be in the military so I can be a tool of this government? I'm sorry. That is just, I don't vibe with that,
Sure.
you know? And I knew that from the moment I was born,
Yeah.
right? But I guess you vibed with it on some level.
You heard about Alec Baldwin killed that person on set.
No, I didn't hear about him
Well,
killing anybody.
there's an actor named Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, I know Alec Baldwin. Yeah, the
Within
Baldwin Brothers.
a year or so ago, he was on the set of this movie called Rust, right? I guess it's his movie. And somehow there was a scene that called for a gun, right? And somehow Alec Baldwin had the gun in his hand, and someone said, cold gun, saying, implying there was no bullets in it, right? And somehow Alec Baldwin aimed it at someone and pulled the trigger and killed them. You didn't hear about this.
Oh, yeah, a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's funny is
It was
I saw,
tragic. It was supposed like an accident or something.
He has the teardrop tattoo right now, and stuff. The reason I mention this is so amazing is he's talking about suing someone at this point in time, right? I don't know who it is or who he's suing for, but I say, and you will agree, he could sue. I'm gonna cry. He could sue every person on earth.
Who?
Would it make him feel any better?
No.
It's between you, it's between him and God. He pulled the trigger, he killed someone. That's it.
Yeah, well, it's heavy.
Yeah.
He was just doing his job. He was just following orders. He was just
Accident.
being. He was just playing a character. Aren't we all just playing a character?
Yeah.
I'm fine with playing a character. You know, I think that there is definitely some, you know, it's not like all roses and sunshine, but it's like oil and water, you know, and I don't judge it. I see that there's tyranny. We know that power corrupts. I just am confused why so many people feel like they need to kill. Like what is it about the other that compulses you to want to kill them?
Yeah.
And I
So,
think it's kind of like what causes somebody to want to commit suicide.
yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I used to be intrigued with Faces of Death when I was like a 13-year-old.
One, two, three, maybe four. That's, is there a fifth one?
I don't know. I think there, number, there was.
Number three was the first one that I saw. Yeah. Tell me.
I was, you know, 12, 13 when I was excited to watch those. And this individual who was kind of like a father figure for me, just for a couple of years before I actually did move back to live with my father, right? He lived in Wisconsin.
Little Green Bay, not this year.
Well, you know, doesn't matter. As long as they'll win, as long as, I don't even know, dude. They're pretty proud up there. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers. I don't keep track.
Yeah, that's my team because 20 years ago I was with this punk rock girl from Wisconsin. She was a cheesehead, so now I'm a cheesehead for her.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, it's good people there. I need to go back. But what was I saying? Yeah, so this individual who, in a spirit sense, reminds me very much of your spirit, which is kind of an honor, actually.
Thanks.
But very intelligent individual and very wise and perceptive and humorous and also dangerous. Somebody who you had to understand that they were the kind of power that is similar to a loaded weapon. You know, you just have to be respectful and make sure you don't point it at anybody that you don't intend to kill. Yes. So, but, you know, I say that jokingly, but in all seriousness, it's the truth. You know, there are some people, there are some spirits you don't fuck with. You know, I mean, you can if you want to really learn some sort of karmic debt or something, but you know, that's why I see myself in other people, and so I understand where you're coming from. I don't expect people to understand what I have to say, you know, because what I have to say is like me synthesizing my experiences and synthesizing, you know, some of the teachings that, like the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, right? Like some of these ancient teachings, but then synthesizing it in a way that I can understand, right? And then as things are revealed to me, you know, it's like poetry.
Yeah.
You know, you said it was poetic. Well, it's like, how else can you describe something that is not of this world?
That's right.
You know, how can you describe what are you? Like, yeah, you described some things that are like your physical self, but somehow that just doesn't feel inspiring. Like, okay, I have my name and my credit card bills or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, well, that just doesn't even feel like that's really you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just feels like, you know, oh, that's like my shoes. You know, oh, that's my coat. You know, here's my hair, right? It's like, might as well just be your coat.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, it's temporary.
It's
like, what is the thing that lasts forever? And that's why I was going back to the, like, that's why I'm going back to like the mother, father, child, right? We have this trinity of consciousness. It's a consciousness being. It's all consciousness. I don't have all the answers, but so far that's what I'm just like, more and more mother, father, child. There's this perpetual organism of consciousness. It's crazy, you know.
Along those lines, I would say, have you ever considered, how old must someone be to have sex? How old must someone be, a child?
I never thought of it. I have a daughter though, so for her, I would want to. I mean, in my opinion, she would not. You know, I mean, this is just a different day and age. So I don't know what to expect. You know what I mean? Other than I'm going to treat her, teach her to respect herself. Right. And I know that she's going to fall in love or want to be, basically her relationship with males or men, you know, if she chooses to be heterosexual, you know, which I don't even know. I don't care. But if she chooses to not be heterosexual, so be it. You know, there's a lot of chemicals they're putting in the water. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's changing our chemistry. So it's not, I'm not going to judge her, but I know that her attraction to a partner is going to be based on her father. So I don't really worry about what age, because I know that if I'm the right kind of man, the stand-up man that supports her and builds her up and makes her feel valuable, then she's not going to put up with somebody who's not going to make her feel that way.
The direction I was going with that is, I bet you people have been having sex before law was made, saying you have to be 18 and so on. People have been having sex before language and countries was made. People have been having sex before communication, I bet you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The proof is, here we are. So yeah. it's like God, nature. Yep. Nature says,
the universe, whatever words.
Yeah. That's when you're old enough. And you as a father have to come to terms with, you're setting the boundaries, and it's unnatural at its face value. It's unnatural to set a boundary on this. And you have to. We're Americans. We have civilized.
Well, most of us, yes, most of us. But that's why I don't really have, like, I'm going more by a feeling. If it felt okay, I don't imagine it would feel okay, because I would probably have a big problem with it, you know.
Big problem, but with being coming up pregnant at 13 years old or what?
If she wanted to start having sex, if that was like, if she wanted to have sex or caught having sex, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, I'm, you know,
whatever, you know, God forbid.
Well, that is a real thing. Yeah. And that's another reason why I want to be here for my daughter, is because she needs to have a father figure, a man in her life that actually cares about her best interest. You know, nowadays we don't have that many men that are standing up for what it means to be an actual man. We have a lot of men that are little children and they want a mommy to take care of them, you know, and they want to get laid, but they don't want to commit. They don't want to actually stand up and support it. But it's not their fault. They're getting hit from all sides. We have women that are not respecting men. They think they got to be like men. So then men feel like pieces of shit because they don't have a place. They're not respected for what they really desire to do, which is to protect and provide. So our family unit is being disintegrated. And it's just one step after the next. And now they have artificial womb, 30,000 babies a year or a month or so, or not a month, but like a batch.
A batch.
You know, it's just like, woo, you know. And what they don't realize is that they're going to extinct the mankind. We're going to lose our ability to reproduce. The more that they screw around with this, and it's going to get to the point where we're going to not be able to do this, and we're going to have to time travel, and that's what's happening.
The movie was called Children of God with Julianne Moore, talking about that. Kind of the end of
It's Operation Looking Glass.
Looking Glass, let me write that.
The Looking Glass Project. I think it's Operation. I go, there's Operation Mockingbird and all that stuff, but I believe it's Operation Looking Glass.
Okay.
That's the one where they can do time travel.
Time travel, okay. I can guarantee you time travel is not possible.
Consciousness can travel through time. Not maybe our physical body.
I can guarantee. You know why I can guarantee 100%, 187% that time travel will never be possible anywhere in any time, is because a lottery exists and insurance exists. Thank you.
Right.
But go ahead.
Well, that's not taking into account parallel universes.
It takes into account every universe you could possibly imagine. If it was possible anywhere, it'd be possible here, and there wouldn't be lottery and insurance.
Right. So what's to say that if you could time travel, right, and predict the future, that so then you travel in time, that you're not in a completely different universe from the one that you left?
Okay. Sure. If it makes sense to you, that's fine.
Well, if it makes sense to you, that's fine.
Okay. What a great show. Oh my gosh, what a great hour. How did you like it?
I mean, how do you know what you know?
That's a good question. It's a classical philosophical question. What do you mean by that? How do I know what I know? Go ahead.
How do you know that this is the only universe? And how do you know that the universe is a thing? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you know it's solid? How do you know that the universe is real?
And I would say even furthermore, considering atoms are 99% nothing, why don't atoms just immediately collapse or fizzle out? How does matter even exist to this day? What is actually happening when matter persists? And Niels Bohr, Einstein's buddy, says physical matter is real and it's made of stuff that cannot possibly be real.
Well, it's like how an atom can be a particle and a wave at the same time.
It's double slit, yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's waves and energy, and we're essentially condensed light that is just frozen light, essentially.
Frozen light, yeah.
But it's slowly disintegrating.
Interesting, interesting. I guess I don't have to write that down. It's here, but it's very, very good. Yeah.
Well, what is light? You know, what is spirit? And that's why I think that a lot of people don't realize that the physical world is a direct reflection of the spirit world. So when you see the physical world, you're seeing the spiritual world. The stars are not just stars. They're spirit. There's a conscious spirit energy. Mm-hmm. And there's a connection with the entire universe. And when you look at the stars and you realize that you're looking at billions of years in the past, you're never seeing things for the current moment. Mm-hmm. You're looking at an inverted hologram, you know, and you're the hologram. Mm-hmm. So.
Inverted hologram.
I don't know, man. If you take enough psychedelics, I think you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I think that there's tools to shortcut and short circuit things. It doesn't mean that it's going to make sense. It just means you might have, it's kind of like a fish coming up to the surface of the water. He can kind of peek his eyes up and look at the fisherman, you know, and maybe he can think like, what is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. It looks like a fish.
Yeah. I have some, you know. Yeah. Here's a fun idea for you. If you won an Olympic gold medal, would you ever take it off?
If I won a gold medal, I don't think I would. I mean, I've been in that place before where I really wanted to win something really bad.
Competitive.
Well, that is definitely, that's why I don't really feel like it's a bad thing to judge it. You know, I'm not going to bash my ego. I think that it's like, we have to go through it. And no matter if you win or lose, you might actually need to lose more than you win, just so that way you can process things more maturely. Yeah. Right. Because when you lose, you got to have the courage to get back up. And the patience to keep trying, you know.
Yeah.
But when you win, then you have the problem of being tempted to be prideful,
yeah,
or arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so either way, you have lessons that you got to learn. Either way. And hopefully you get a chance to learn both. you know. And then later on in life, you might, I think it was my mom who used to say this. You start out life being really self-centered. You're a kid, you know, you're a little baby. You got to get your needs met. You only care about yourself.
Yeah.
And as you get older, you start to care about more things outside of yourself, you know, and eventually you're just more giving in general, because you're just more in tune with other people. And that's just a natural part of just being a person, you know, being a human. But you really, I think for me, it was meditating. You know, meditating really helps, because if you don't meditate, you don't get a chance to let the energy kind of simmer down. And it's like the energy creates all the chatter, all the thoughts. And we literally will become possessed with thoughts, programmed, really. And I think for me, meditating was what really helped release those thoughts. Actually, I was 27. I smoked about a pack every pack of cigarettes. I smoked like a half a pack a day, maybe a pack a day. Sometimes I would quit. I would try to quit, but I never could quit for longer than 2 years. So anyways, I got these meditation cassettes. And a friend of mine gave them to me. Apparently her company makes them, right? Or made them. Yeah. This is back like in the 80s. So they're on cassette tapes.
My dad got those.
Zygon.
Yeah.
Was that what it was called? Well, I mean, they're the ones she gave me. The Zygon.
The birds chirping. Yeah.
Yeah. This one is like kind of like water kind of going, and it's kind of low bass and weird sounds that it kind of sounds like a like rain sort of. But so I did that 30 minutes before I went to bed and 30 minutes when I woke up.
Yeah.
And after 2 weeks of doing that, one day I just forgot to buy cigarettes. So I was like, I'll get cigarettes tomorrow. So it was like I was working, right? So it was busy at work. So the next day it was super busy, went home, forgot to buy cigarettes. So I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, okay, tomorrow I need to buy cigarettes. You know, normally when you're smoking, if you're out of cigarettes, you got to buy cigarettes. So I was like, okay, I'll get them tomorrow. And so the third day came around, I was like, and I actually did remember on my way home. And I was like, all right. Oh, I remember. I need cigarettes. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm tired. And it has been 2 days already. Like, fuck it. Why don't I just see how long I can go? Who cares? I want to go home. I just want to go home and smoke a bowl or whatever. Right. So it's just like, all right, I'll just try that. I'll just see how long I can go. And that was the last. I'm 42 now. So that was it, you know. And I've had maybe one or two cigarettes since then. You know, like I think I had a menthol cigarette when I was like tripping on acid once, you know, understandable to like kind of not be in your right state of mind. And it wasn't great. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not something I ever think about, right? It's just like whatever was had a hold on me completely left.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to try.
Wow.
You know?
I'm so happy for you. That's awesome.
Well, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It's literally, and that's why, you know, more and more I'm like, oh, I was obviously there was all this energy of anxiety and stress and survival mode and all these kind of childhood traumas that were kind of possessing me in a way, you know. And when I look back on it, I see that smoking was actually my way of meditating, taking 5 minutes to say, you know, fuck off, I'm gonna just smoke my cigarette and breathe. And maybe it's smoke, but at least I'm breathing and breathing, inhale and exhaling, that are, you know, deep breaths. Yeah. You know, relative to normal. And maybe the other people who are smoking cigarettes, maybe they'll just be like, oh yeah, you know, it's like you get a chance to just, it's kind of like water cooler talk, right?
Yeah.
So you get a little social interaction. But now looking back on it, I'm just like, yeah, well, I was just basically meditating. I was basically, I needed, if I was meditating, I wouldn't need to smoke. And that's what happened. But yeah, I get excited talking about it because that was it was a big deal for me.
That's
I
awesome.
was just like, whoa, what is up with this? There must be something here. So then I started getting excited. I'm like, hey, you got to try these meditation CDs, right? Getting trying to just, you know, whatever we discover, right? You're just like, hey, I figured out something that actually helped me.
Yeah.
You know.
It worked for me. Maybe it'll work for you. That's right.
Well, another one that was big. And this, I think, was before the meditation stuff. Was the, you remember when The Secret came out? What was that, like early 2000s?
Yeah.
In the Law of Attraction, right? And it was just like a whole paradigm shift.
Paradigm shift, yeah.
Like, oh, wait a minute. We're, you know, up to that point, it was just so like, I'm just a random meat suit, you know, like it's kind of like fate, or I got to work really hard. You know, I gotta compete in this King of the Hill game. And then The Secret came out, and it's like, oh, you just manifest it. You know, you, your thoughts become things. And I think, you know, it's kind of like, it's fun, right? Those are fun thoughts. But then when you look at like quantum, when with the research, what they're doing with quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and you start seeing how there is conscious power over, well, not even on a quantum level. If you look at water molecules, have you ever seen that? The con how water molecules will change their shape based on what conscious impression is on them,
The
like
frequency
being
is.
thankful or being. Like saying I love you to a glass of water,
That's wonderful.
or the water molecules will create like more of like a snowflake shape with love and gratitude, but with like anger, they are just more just exactly how you'd imagine anger to look, right? Like jaggedy or sharp or distorted. So water is intelligent. There's something about water. It literally is connected to our consciousness, or vice versa, or it is conscious. But there's some really cool stuff. I mean, I haven't, I'm not prepared to, I don't have anything I could show you, but I wish I could, you know, because that's the stuff that would be like, just like, it kind of like opens your eyes to like, okay, there is something here that is much more special than what we're being kind of led to believe. But you know, only because it's like the least common denominator, you know, it's like, okay, you have 30 people who believes, you know, some of those people can see auras, some of those people can see energy, and maybe only one of them can, right? So that one person is going to feel crazy if they're trying to explain it to the other 29 people who can't see it.
Aren't at that level
you
yet.
know,
Yeah.
it's just like a, so I have a disability, I have multiple sclerosis,
Wow.
so that has
You're in a
caused
wheelchair.
me, I've not yet, no,
Not
but
yet.
I have trouble walking.
Okay.
I use a cane,
Yeah.
but you know, obviously, like I was in the hospital last fall, so I think a lot of my difficulty now, I think I can heal, right? I was just really weak. But a point being is that like with the disability has come certain abilities, you know, and so what some of those abilities would be the fact that like when you go through a disability and the amount of pain that I deal with pretty much constantly, it causes me to have to manage that pain. And I have to look at all options to manage it. I can't just rely on a drug because I will get
Addicted, yeah.
well, yeah, I don't take addictive drugs, but it would still my tolerance.
Tolerance,
I'll
that's
get a
good.
tolerance to it, you know. But yeah, I don't like addictive drugs because I need too many drugs to be relying on like unhealthy drugs.
Tolerance is the correct word, yes.
Well, it's just, yeah, I mean, you just, it doesn't do anything for you, you know? So what was happening, I was getting so tight in my legs that I needed to do yoga. I couldn't rely on drugs anymore because it wasn't working.
Yeah.
But with that, you know, meditation and all that has been, you know, a key to being able to get through this. And also just, it causes me to sit there and reflect every day to reflect on this, you know, I need strength to get through just my normal day to day. You know, where do we get our strength from? And to be able to be forced to get your strength is, I think, that's when people start identifying with God or a God.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I was an atheist. I was never really an atheist because that's still a belief.
Yeah.
You have to believe in something. You
believe in something. That's right.
So I believe that we are God, but I believe it's a Trinity, mother, father, and child.
Yeah.
So that God is not a single consciousness, as more of just an omnipotent consciousness.
God is not a genie that grants wishes, like I would say.
Well, you know, you're the genie.
Okay.
You're the genie. You manifest your reality. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, how limited are you? You're unlimited. We're both unlimited beings.
You want to hear something funny about Law of Attraction and The Secret, the movie The Secret specifically?
I haven't seen that one.
You have not seen the movie The Secret?
No, I just read the book.
I'm going to save you 2 hours, 3 hours. Watch the movie The Secret. You get to minute 44 and they're talking about dream building. They're talking about taking magazines and cutting out stuff that you would want to manifest.
Oh, yeah. The vision board.
Vision
board. Yeah.
You happen to know the first item on the list that they cut out.
No, I don't know. What was it? Like a beach or something? No. A yacht?
No.
A Lamborghini?
A Rolex GMT2.
A Rolex.
Rolex GMT, Greenwich Mean Time 2, with a Pepsi bezel, minute 44, the exact Rolex that I have. And I saw that, I'm like, no way, that's impossible.
Oh, wait, can I see that again? Was that the black-faced one?
It's the black-faced one.
Hold on, it's like...
I had a good picture of
Yeah,
hold on. The screenshot of the movie. Anyway, they're cutting it out of a magazine, and it happens to be the same watch I have with the oyster bracelet and I like the flip clasp.
Yeah, you manifested that shit.
I manifested it before I saw the movie. That's what I'm saying. This is amazing.
Well, so when you sent me a message, right? And we're like, oh, you know, philosophers, whatever, you know, what I see is I see you as God, right? You are God. You're God contacting me. You are the universe, right? I don't want to use the word God. You are the universe coming through me. You were inspired to contact me, right? And so I respect that because I treat that as sacred.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm here, right? And so when that is how you pay attention to the voice of God. Is you respect spirit. And when you're in tune with that, then all of a sudden, when you respect spirit, it respects you.
When you respect spirit, spirit respects you. Okay.
If you don't respect spirit, it means, for instance, other people. Have you heard of the term shadow work?
Shadow work. Go ahead, tell me.
Have you heard of the term shadow work?
I've just... to spuriously heard the term. Tell me all about it. It's another word.
Well, go back to your earliest childhood trauma. Think about things that maybe are the most uncomfortable things that you can think about. Maybe things like sexual traumas or abuse or mental abuse or physical abuse, or even just traumas of not understanding, like maybe trust, maybe abandonment. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that can happen to a child. And those things that happen form patterns, emotional in your body. They form patterns that live throughout your life. And what will happen is we are unconscious of those patterns, because they were just things that we are ways that the child was able to survive. But then they were things that actually prevent the child from growing, right? They were just, they're not needed. They hold the child back throughout his whole life, like dysfunction of like whatever, right? Not trusting partners in love relationships, you know? And so the shadow, you know, everything's a reflection of our consciousness. Other people are manifestations of your shadow. And the ones that piss you off the most, there's a reason, because it's resonating with the shadow part of you. And that's why it connects. And so, you know, people don't really piss me off anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, like part of it is diet, right? When I eliminated gluten, this was part of the reason I have MS, right? Is diet, not the reason I have it, but okay, part of the reason that it got as bad as it did was because of diet. But I had a fairly decent diet. But yeah, when you go to heal something like an autoimmune condition, mm-hmm, diet is a big factor to like, yes, change your chemistry, right? It is psychosomatic too. Your mental, emotional well-being is important. However, you got to do both, right? Your physical body is a reflection of your emotional body as well. So when I cut gluten out after about 8 days, all of a sudden I noticed, hey, I don't really feel like this person cut me off and I don't really care.
Wow, that's
awesome. You know, I was like, what? That's weird.
Wow.
You know, gluten. So what I had to eliminate, it was like a 5 week, it took me 6 months.
Yeah.
So it was 5 weeks, which took me 6 months. It was basically like 1 week, which 1 week was 1 month for me.
Yeah.
But first week was dairy. Second week was gluten, mm-hmm, eliminate. And then the third week was all added sugars.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
And, which was really really tough.
Tough, yeah.
It's super tough. There's added sugars in everything. Everything. Yeah. And then the fourth one was, what was the fourth one? It was no,
after sugar, it doesn't matter. Salt, maybe.
Yeah.
If you can do sugar, you can do anything. That's for sure. That's for sure. Think about, I'll be right back. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting tired too.
Yeah.
Oh, breathe. That's what we need to do, brother. We need to breathe. So, what is this I'm looking at on your wall there?
Okay, I'm back.
So how did you find out about me anyways?
I broadcasted what I sent you, that blurb, I broadcasted to hundreds of people. And you were the second person to answer. The first person said, he's not interested. You were the next person who said, yes, I'll do.
How, but hundreds of people from where? Like what, like a group or?
On groups, philosophy groups and stuff like this. And then I went to
wonderful
recent stuff and just people that commented stuff recently in the last few minutes. I texted them, you know, just random strangers on Facebook, Nigeria, wherever, you know.
Excellent. It's very
convenient that you're in Washington and you speak English, you know.
Yeah, that is helpful. Man, what a honor, man. I feel like very lucky, right? It's just like the universe. So is this something you do regularly?
This is the first time I ever came up with the idea.
I love it.
Very, very impressed with the results.
I love it, man. So, okay. So to me, that is spirit.
Okay.
That is, so you inspired, right? In spirit.
Yes.
You did something. Inspired. You were inspired to do something. It's great, right? So this is how beautiful spirit is, right? This is the energy that we're talking about. And the more that you walk in this path, the more it just is like magic.
Yeah. You want to hear a fun story?
Sure. Yeah.
You ever seen the movie Schindler's List?
Mm-hmm.
In Schindler's List, Oscar Schindler makes a factory, saves the Jews. And what happened at the end? Right? The friends take the gold from their teeth and they make him a ring. Right? You following along?
I need to rewatch that.
Okay. So in the movie, Oscar Schindler saves all these people, and he wasn't doing it to help them. He was helping himself, you know, make profit. And at the end, he has a change of heart and he says, you know, people. And his friends band together. They take the gold from their fillings and they make him a gold ring. And they give him the ring. And they hand it to Oscar Schindler. And he holds it up and says, three people. I could have saved three people. Right? So the fun story is, when I wear my Rolex, I like to hold it up for people and say, three people. I could have saved three people.
Well, I mean, you know what? It's like, that's like a $10,000 watch.
It is.
It's not a big deal.
Good guess. Yeah. Love it. Rolex website says, every Rolex has a story. That's true. Every Rolex has a story. If it sits around for 3 days, it just stops running. You got to wind it and then wear it.
It's not an auto winding?
That's called perpetual. It is. But if it's sitting in your drawer for 3 days, it'll stop running.
Oh, yeah. So it won't start up again if you put it back on and shake it?
No, it will start up, but the time is wrong. So,
oh, sure. Yeah.
It's but so, what, 14 there?
It's 14 somewhere.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the date is...
That's a good, no, it's, I like that.
So this hasn't been running since the 14th of December. So let's adjust. See, when you turn the dial like that, it goes the hour on this GMT2. It changes, see, it went to 15 there.
Mm-hmm.
Spin this around, spin that wheel.
Well, now you're making me want to go find mine.
Yeah, fun.
It's like packed away. But I like now I've just realized like shit, I wonder if I hope I still have that.
Yeah.
I recently went through a divorce actually. In this last year. I've been basically I almost died in the hospital last year.
Wow, amazing.
And I lost a lot of hair and I looked like somebody who was at a concentration camp.
Concentration camp, wow.
I mean, at least and when I looked in the mirror, and my hair was falling out, like thinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was as skinny. I was 40 pounds underweight. So I weighed like 120 pounds or like, yeah, even more than 40 pounds. Yeah. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is that I've been through a lot. I had to move into my own place and I lost a lot of stuff when I did, right? Just because I was so weak. Is it set?
Which Warlocks do you have?
I have two, but the, I don't know the name of it. I have to go show them. I got the one with, that looks like yours, but it's got green. It's green and black.
Green and black, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's and I forgot the name. This is back when I...
It's not Submariner, is it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yep. And then the other one is silver with black. It's the like aviator one.
Aviator, yeah.
No,
Sky Dweller is the gold thing with whatever.
It's got a black face and then it's just got chrome. Well, yeah. Not chrome, but it's chrome, but it's not colored.
Yeah. That's good. Good for you. Yeah. You are in a family that owns a Rolex. It's not just you, it's your family heritage that can brag about them.
No, this was the guy this was an old sales manager who like sold them to me. Okay. So
for $10.
No. I think that I mean I've showed them to people and they're like, you know, wow, it's you know, seems real, but I'm kind of like always like, nah, I don't trust it.
What, you didn't get the boxes on papers?
I didn't get the papers, yeah.
Just throw it away. Start over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you this, can't this really
the only design I can stand of Rolex. I wouldn't buy any other.
Well, I don't really can't wear watches. I got tumors in my hands.
Oh yeah,
so in my arm, in my wrist.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So the watches that you got are not your first choice of Rolex. What would your first choice?
Oh well, no, he was getting them, but he was getting these on the like black market.
Yeah.
So, like he knew a guy who was a pilot. Yeah. Who would go to China, right? So I think that they were getting these on the Chinese black market, right? But it looks and feels and weighs, right? I've had people look at it. So yeah. I'm like, okay, it looks like legit, like just like that. It's just
all you gotta do is go down to Beverly Hills and there's the Rolex office right on Wilshire, not Rodeo Drive, but Wilshire.
Oh, they'll know.
And just say, here, I would like to service this, please. And they'll take it from you and they'll say, oh, yes, sir, this is a real Rolex. I'm going to service it. Here's $600. Here you go. And or they'll say, yeah. Or they'll say, wait here, sir. Police are on their way.
Right.
That's how you will know. Take it to the Rolex office in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I still have those, honestly. Yeah. But, like, it reminds me of that. That's great, yeah. And, you know, I thought it was cool, but then when I never really wore it because it's like, I just don't like, I don't know if I would actually even want to wear it if I could afford it.
Yeah.
But it's cool, you know. Do you, have you ever heard of Richard Hart? He's the guy who created HEX, the cryptocurrency.
Richard who? Hart?
Hart. Richard Hart.
How do you spell that?
Like Hart, like H-E-A-R-T, Richard.
Okay. He created what?
Well, he created HEX, H-E-X, HEX token.
HEX token.
Which is a cryptocurrency. And he designed it to be like how you have certificate of deposits, right? Where you can basically deposit some money and then earn interest on it. But with the way that it works on the blockchain is you stake, you can buy, let's say you buy like 100 HEX and you stake it for however long you want to stake it. And then when the stake is up, you earn a certain amount of, you mint your own HEX back. Like, so you, it's like you earn interest, mm-hmm. right? So you'll earn like, maybe you staked 100, but then you get like 130 back. And so that's,
you get 130, now you have 230. Okay.
I'm not giving you like the real numbers, of accurate numbers. I'm just trying to say you get like, it would be like a 30% return in this hypothetical,
okay.
Right? So for however long you stake it, right? So you stake it and then you get 30% return.
Yeah.
And the only thing is that that's independent of the value. So it's kind of like Bitcoin, except for Bitcoin is mined through miners, proof of work, where they're like, I have all these computers chugging at work all day, pumping out a Bitcoin. And then you have these Bitcoins that the miners have to sell in order to recoup their costs for running that computer program to like generate it. And so it's just like them selling their Bitcoins makes the price of Bitcoin go down, right? Because they're increased. Yeah, exactly. So with Hex, there is no mining like that. Okay. With Hex, the only way that new Hex can be created is from people staking. Okay. So there's only a certain amount of Hex initially, and then people can buy it. And then the only way that more Hex can be created would be through staking.
Right.
And so that's the incentive. That's the mechanism that replaces mining.
So
in theory, right? And it's
how did you do in crypto?
Well, good, for you know, considering I am slow to the boat on crypto.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't do bad. You know, it's not like I probably should have sold all my crypto when it was up, you know, not too long ago, like last year. But I just sold stuff that made the most gains, and then I held on to the rest. And now I'm just waiting for it to go back up. Kind of maybe move some stuff around, but it'll go back up any day now.
Which crypto coin are you hoping will go up?
Well, they'll all go up.
Okay.
All right. You can make more money on altcoins, but you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, are always going to be the benchmarks, right? So they're going to go up, and then you might have altcoins, smaller tokens. You have more of a risk factor, so you can make a lot more money, but you also can lose a lot more money.
More risk. You want to hear a fun story about crypto? You know how much money I made in crypto?
A lot.
Not millions, but I'll tell you. Let me tell you a story. Last year, this is 2022, right? This year, in October 2021, I had about $3,000 in SHIB. And that day, in one day, it fourfolded. And I took $10,000 in one day. Right? You know what happened with that? I ended up having to pay $7,200 in taxes on that $10,000. That taught me a lesson about crypto and investing in general.
Fun, huh? Oh my God. Why did you have to pay that amount?
36 state and then 36 federal. Because it was within 1 year of buying it.
Wow.
Let that be a lesson to you. Don't worry about crypto. Don't worry about investing at all. If you have money,
just hold on to it forever.
Take $100, break it into 20s, and just give it to a homeless guy. Every once in a while, make you feel much better.
I love it. Yeah. Well, I mean, there is a certain amount of greed, right? Yeah. That gets fueled by that. Fortunately, I got scammed, and so I probably have more losses than I have in gains. At least what I've actualized, right? Like what I've actually taken. But it's the kind of thing that is. I think it's valuable for us to understand how it works, because it would allow us more flexibility, right? It gives us more options, right? Somebody can't just turn your bank account off. You know, if you have crypto, then you still have an option.
Okay.
You know, you still have a means of currency or money or value, right?
If you become an enemy of the state, you still have access to funds.
Well, it's not just an enemy of the state.
Okay.
You know, the banking system could go down. Like they could just get snowed in and decide to shut their computers off or something, you know, and then you don't have access to your money.
Yeah.
You know, or the internet, you know, if the internet goes down, right, then you're kind of SOL, right? So it's, you probably don't want to just have crypto either, right? You probably want to have maybe some cash on hand, right? And maybe you want to have some precious metals somewhere.
Yeah.
Right, in case the whole thing goes tits up.
That's diversified. That's right.
But crypto is definitely it's a thing, right? It's just like the internet, right? If we have an internet, it would only make sense that we would have something that is synonymous with the internet that isn't tied to a controlling entity like a government,
yeah.
Right? Because the internet's not really tied to a controlling entity, you know, that the way it was designed, right? So
yeah.
can we have like trust, right? That's what cryptocurrency is. It's just essentially a mechanism of trust,
mm-hmm.
right? And until cryptocurrency came, the mechanism of trust was the corrupt government, you know, or the corrupt banks,
mm-hmm.
right? And I say corrupt because we all know that power corrupts. So it's like, yeah they're have all these rules for the little guys, but when it comes to the biggest criminals, they're the ones who are above the rules.
Yeah.
You know, so with crypto, you don't really get that. You get other problems, but
yeah,
I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Or at least
it gives the little guy a chance in the first time in a long time.
Right.
I'll say that.
In a lot of ways, the little guys are the enemies of the state.
Enemies of the state, yeah.
I mean, the way that they treat the little guys, they treat us like we're... They don't want our kids to be empowered. They send our kids to the school that teaches you how to be a good order taker, you know?
Yeah. Order taker, yes.
So, in a way, it's like they're treating us like we're not the enemy, but we're being treated like the service or something, you know, like the help.
Yeah.
So well,
it's getting late, and I just want to say it's nice to talk to you. It was great talking to you. And I want to say whatever you're doing is working. It seems like you're getting enough sleep, right? that's a big thing in what I care about most for people.
I hope that I'm going to get enough sleep. I'm going to be tired tomorrow morning when I wake up from my stand up, but
yeah,
I should be all right. I should be okay. Well, I do web development. So I build a website for this video game company.
Oh, cool.
For this video game. I mean, the company is based out of San Francisco, but
wonderful.
I don't know. Have you ever heard of Game Show Network?
Yeah.
You play any games on your phone at all?
No, I really don't. I play chess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that's good.
Yeah. What's your website?
Oh, it's not live yet. I mean, it's
not live yet. Okay.
I could send it to you. I don't want to, it's play solitaire tri peaks or something. I don't know that it's played.
Right.
I think it's like Tiki solitaire tri peaks or Tiki solitaire. I don't know. I'll send you the URL, cool. But it's a new thing. It's just the web store for the video game. Yeah. It's not like I'm building the game, but
okay. Web store.
It's still, we got a decent sized team now.
Yeah. What is it? Ruby or what platform?
I do JavaScript.
JavaScript. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a React application. I do the front end.
Yeah.
So it's
My degree is in computers. What I like to do is PHP on the back end. But what is it?
Yeah. I've done PHP.
Yeah.
But I mean, can do both front end too. But. I mean, I don't think you'd want, I wouldn't want to do it on the front end anymore.
I bet you $1 million, you know, way more about computers than I do about programming.
It's funny because it's just all irrelevant, you know, it's just all bullshit. I mean, it's not bullshit. There's JK flip-flops, like on the mechanical side or the physical side of computer programming. But like, there's like theoretical, it's just like the, you know, the theory and all this stuff and how it's put together. I like it because it helps me think about the universe in a way that's kind of like, I don't want to say I'm logical. I don't feel that I'm not a typical programmer. Most programmers are very linear thinking. And I'm not a linear thinker. I'm more of like a web, you know.
Spider web, yeah.
I'm like a spider. Yeah.
That's
I'm just kind of, that's, I think, why the internet's been something I gravitated towards, because you just kind of have to work in this mess, you know, of web of interconnected stuff, right? So it's, you know, it seems to be something that's cathartic for me. It's not, I'm not sure the why I'm doing, you know, it's like, it's not like I'm super passionate about it, but at the same time, I, you know, it's just like, I like it, right? I don't, I, when I'm done doing it, I don't have to think about it. You know, I can work on my art. I like to do art. So that's what I do. I make these little pyramids.
Yeah.
I don't even have them right.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. We should do this again.
We should, yeah.
Maybe not so late at night or early in the morning.
Yeah. We'll friend each other on Facebook. We'll keep in touch, okay?
All right, brother. Thank you. You have to send me the final product.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be about 20 minutes.
Oh, awesome. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Blessings, brother. See you.